for you. Which one will be your choice?
Thing that has happened to our world. Oh, it has been a very trying, tough week for everyone. But we all have to keep the faith. Don't give up. I have callers on the line, but I just want to update you guys of everything that's happening. You know, you have university students leaving for their homeland in Montserrat and Antigua, which is good. They have to be quarantined, of course, for 14 days before they can actually mingle with their own. You have farm workers heading off to Canada. No, I don't know. We need our farmers to start working out here. And there we have farm workers going off to Canada to pump money into our industry, also to assist Canada with theirs. But it's the first time that I really, really am a bit surprised, because I really think they should start our farming up soon, although that is in the pipeline. Okay, what would happen if they get coronavirus over there? Let me go to my first caller. Good afternoon to you, caller. What's on your mind? Press 1 if you want to talk. You're live on the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station, giving you all the live information straight from Jamaica. Good afternoon, caller. Press 1 if you want to talk. 678-964, press 1. I guess I'll have to go to the next caller, which is 678-964. What's on your mind? 678-964, what's on your mind? Next caller, press 1 if you want to talk. You're on Caribbean Radio Show Live. Okay. Hello? Good afternoon, caller.
Hello.
Hi there, how are you? How are you, caller? Can you hear me? Press 1 if you want to talk. Good afternoon, caller.
Hello.
Press 1. Yes, press 1 if you want to talk. What's on your mind? Hello, my caller. It seems as if we're having some kind of difficulty. Let me try another caller. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on the Caribbean Radio Show. Press 1 if you want to talk. 678-964. What's on your mind? Good afternoon, my callers. It seems as if we are having a bit of problem. I am not sure what is happening. Not sure exactly what is happening, but the calls have dropped. You know, as I was saying, the farm workers went off to Canada. It's so unfortunate because at a time like this, it's very risky. They are gone up to do a wonderful thing for another country. But I assume they said that they're going to have them quarantined and tested. And I hope to God that they remain safe. And if by chance anybody should get sick, they should get sick, they'll be well taken care of, you know. We had the deportees, Jamaicans, they came back home recently, and our government has prepared proper quarantine for them to put them back home to their families, and we hope that everything will go well with them that way. On to another subject, you know, we have banks. The banks everywhere is just in a chaotic mood right now. Our banks are encouraging online business. Persons are just not conforming in some areas, and in other areas you see a line up and everything. The lines are lighting up. The switchboard is lighting up. Let me go to my caller. 678-964, caller. Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, caller. How are you? I can hear you.
This is Robin from Jamaica.
Oh, hi, Robin from Jamaica. How are you?
I'm good.
What's on your mind? What's happening? How is the coronavirus treating you? What has been happening?
Well, I'm more concerned about the stigma against people who are sick. Right now, our hospital turned back a pregnant lady because they thought that she had corona, even though she wasn't tested and as positive for corona. She had flu-like symptoms and went to the hospital to give birth, and the hospital refused to accept her.
That is so unfortunate, because I saw it myself and the tears literally came to my eyes when I saw it before she died. I saw her doctor.
Well, she has no, I don't think she died. I think several hospitals turned her back. She died?
She is dead. That little girl is dead. She's 22 or 24 years old. She died shortly after the news announced it, where we could see her doctor pacing up and down. And they had to wait 1 hour in that ambulance before the hospital in Sanctum. The baby is at the institution. She died from heart failure, and I understand that she didn't have the virus. I think more than anything else, she was scared. She was running scared. A young girl a young girl to encounter such a
monster. But what they're
saying
is that she paid to have the baby at Andrews. And Andrews turned her back, and then they went to university, and turned her back.
They called a university hospital, and they didn't take her. They called her own another private place, I understand. KPS didn't take her either, and Spanish Town decided to help. But when they reached the Spanish Town, they had to wait one hour in the ambulance before that child was admitted. Now, you could see the doctor pacing up and down, and he was well garbed. So I'm just wondering if they couldn't have tried to do delivery inside, because he was well covered, you know. I am so sorry when you hear cases like this. It's a case of panic. People panic. They're scared. And persons have been encouraging persons to stay calm, try and stay calm. But I can understand the fear, because how do you feel how can you imagine this fear is coming at you? Nobody knows how to do it, and it's a pandemic. So you can imagine this young girl with this baby to deliver. She just died. She died. They say she died from a heart failure. She died from a broken heart and fear. It is so sad. So sad, sad, my little daughter. So sad. So how are you feeling?
I'm just taking it one day at a time and trying not to get overwhelmed.
Yes, because
when you have all this information coming at you all the time, it puts you in a state of
mental
anxiety.
Depression. Yes, yes, yes. Because I had a case with a relative in the States. She was sent home because they thought she had the coronavirus, and she thought she had it as well. and she was as nervous as ever. And I had to coach her through the thing and tell her what to do, you know. And she calmed down and she decided to go to the doctor. It was anxiety, but because of the fear and everything, she actually stayed home. My dear caller, it's nice hearing from you. I would like you to stay safe and take care of yourself and your family. I have the switchboard is light, you know. All right.
Okay,
take
bye-bye.
Care and thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. Good.
Okay.
Very happy, Robin. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on Caribbean Radio Show.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, caller. How are you?
Hi, this is Marcia.
Oh, Marcia, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm not bad.
Okay.
I hear a little annoyed with this mask thing.
The mask.
It's very annoying to wear. Yeah, man. Very annoying, very hot.
I understand. It's mandatory. The government announced that we should be wearing masks. But, you know, your background is a little bit noisy. Could you ask them to turn it down a little bit, please?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this mask.
That's all?
Everybody's asking. Yes, that's much better. Now, what I understand with this mask, you know, the doctors have to wear, nurses and healthcare workers, and they have a certain standard by which they have to abide by, you know. They can't just wear the cloth one like what we have to wear, ordinary people have to wear on the street. Noticed recently where a doctor, a very popular doctor, announced that we should get salt water, boiling water, stir the salt in it and allow it to soak the you can use the coffee, you know, what you use, the ground coffee, the percolator, the filter. You soak those, put it to dry, and put it inside of your mask because it absorbs the salt water. And what he's saying is that the salt, simple salt, it kills bacteria. So whatever comes at you will not get directly in your system. It will die before it could get in. And I've actually heard other people
saying
that.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yes, they gargle with salt water. They wash the nostrils with salt water. They wash the face. And, of course, if they're having a cough or anything, they gargle. And, this, you know, so for what it is worth, we can only try. Your background is noisy. Marcia, your background is noisy. Ask them to keep it quiet, please. All right, thank you. Yes, so I tell you that persons have been singing song about the salt water. And I do believe in it, too. I'm not saying that you're not to, but you have to, when you're desperate, you have to try anything. Anything apart from bleach, Lysol, disinfectant. You do not ingest bleach. You do not, I repeat, you do not ingest bleach or Lysol or disinfectant. You do not inject it in your arm. You do not ingest it. You do nothing of the sort. From I was born until now, all these years.
This is the first time I've ever heard something like that.
Yes. You read on the can where it says dangerous, harmful is swallowed, and it says poison. Some of them say poison with the X on the skull head, and you have to run to your hospital for them to get that stuff out of you, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know how any well-thinking person could come up with an idea like that.
Yes, yes. You know, you have to try and be patient with the mask. Sometimes it's a bit tight. You can use a scarf and you make sure that your nose, you cover your nostrils, your nose, and your mouth, right? Not wear it under your nose, not wear it just under your mouth, and do not rest it on top of your head or under your chin.
Yeah, that is my problem, though, because most people having it on them head and under the chin have the gloves on and still eating with the gloves. So I'm wondering how any of this making any sense.
I'm wondering myself. And, you know, as I go along, I try to correct people as nicely as possible because we should be our brother's keeper. Because based on what is happening, if you are infected and you pass by me, if you happen to get
infected,
chances are I might get it. So the more you teach other people, you encourage them to do the right thing, it's the better off we all will be as a society, you know?
Right.
You know, and that is why I'm telling you, Marcia, there is an organization by the name of PALAS. It was formed about 10 years ago. They give scholarships to students at university level,
mm-hmm.
high school level.
Right.
Right, because
that was
as we all know, the situation in Jamaica, yes, what happened now, the situation in Jamaica is not so
out of control, yes, but
the situation is not so, and not everybody can afford to go to university to pay from pocket. So whatever grant they can get, whichever way the help comes in, they would appreciate it. This organization has been giving scholarships to students in Jamaica for the longest while, for over 10-year period.
Really? What's the name of it again?
PALAS. You could Google it and encourage others to get on board and make a donation. If it's even $1 or $10, $5, whatever you have, you make a donation. Because the very child you help will just be your own. I hear you have children in the background. You never know what will happen,
Lord.
And your child needs a scholarship. You see, what happened is that
it really does help.
This money does not go into the child's hand because it is used specifically for education. So it goes to the school's bursary, where it is handled, and they pay for the tuition and they pay for whatever. The same for university for the period of time. Once you apply for the scholarship and you qualify for it, that is when PALAS gives the money. Right now, why are we doing it? It gives scholarships for any subject. And I'm telling you, we need doctors and nurses. We have trained a lot of nurses and doctors, but they go away, so we would like to keep them. I thank you so much for listening. That the switchboard is lighting up, so think about it, and you can call back if you want the information, but Google it in the meanwhile. Thank you so much, and stay safe, caller.
Thank you.
Good. All right, you're welcome. You're live on CRS Radio, 646-353. Good afternoon. This is the Knowledge Station, Caribbean Radio Station.
Good
you're
afternoon.
Live. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you? Good afternoon.
I'm
How
hanging
are
in
you?
There.
Great.
I'm hanging in there.
Great. Okay, good to hear. What's on your mind?
Yes. Oh, just checking in, just to, you know, touching base, actually. And to
where
see
you
how
calling?
You guys are hanging and dealing with
it. Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm actually calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, Great. How is it in New York now? How is it going?
I mean, they say it's not as bad, but I mean, I'm hearing the ambulance 24/7 as I was hearing it 2-3 weeks ago. So I don't know, you know.
Yes. So it's not so bad now or what?
I mean, according to the statistics, it's not that bad. I'm hoping that it's not, but I'm still hearing like the police cars and the ambulance and the, you know.
Yes, but I hear they're supposed to be good. Hold on. Excuse me. I hear they're supposed to be going out to work shortly.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I hope that's not anything. It's not.
It's not. So how is everything on your end?
Well, lots are happening. We have a rise in the figures, but they're doing contact traces right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not new cases that they have, actually. It's from the call center that had a problem where they had to close down a whole parish.
Yeah.
They had to close a whole parish, you know?
Yeah.
But we have all the cases.
question. I was hearing something about the someone that the pregnant girl.
Yes. Unfortunately, she died. The other caller, the first caller, spoke about it, where she died. She wasn't even aware that that little girl died. It's so unfortunate because it came on the news that she died from heart failure. Because can you imagine, you're a young person, you know nothing about pregnancy or anything. You're pregnant, yes, but it's a young mother. So I'm sure that she was frightened. More than anything else, she was frightened. And she went to several hospitals where she was turned down. She was turned down because...
How is that possible?
Yes, but this is in Jamaica, it's different. Because I don't know what reason it is. I don't want to speak out of turn, but it was on the news, big and bold, that she was turned away from the hospital, where the private hospital, where she paid her money, and the other hospitals wouldn't take her. So that is what happened.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry, I have to go to the music. Sorry. Thanks for calling.
Are you okay?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay. All right, so be safe.
You too.
And I'll do the same, okay? Thank you.
Why is your picture still hanging? you jump over the wall. You think I never see you when you accidentally fall. Me say, aye, make your puppy you be falling. Why you accidentally falling? Is she crying out behind ice water?
Yes, folks, good afternoon. I'm back. Water is really good, but not ice water. Room temperature water is always good for you, and it is recommended that you drink a lot of it. When you choke, you drink the water. when you want to hydrate yourself, you have to make sure you have water. Now, it's really sad what has been happening, and as I said to the caller, Dr. Alfred Dawes recommended that we use paper towel, tissue paper, or the filter from the coffee mug to soak in salt water to put inside a cloth mask before we go out, because they say the mask itself, everything comes through. It's like literally wearing nothing at all. So that's a tip. You use salt water. You know, at this time in Manchester, the parishes of Manchester, Clarendon, St. Elizabeth region, the minister went out on a tour and he was very impressed because the hospitals were well prepared for the coronavirus. They made the beds and everything, prepared beds in case of any crisis. We are 300 and something, and it's frightening. It was 200 and something. I don't know if it has, I'm not sure if it has passed the 300 mark, but it's the one company that caused all of this for the corona spread. I'm not sure if they had traced the other two which they were investigating, but right now, they're trying their best to have everything under control and to have persons to practice the safe distancing. Because in Portmore, in Greater Portmore, Spanish Town, where persons only have 2 days to go and get food, supplies, medication, or to do whatever for those 2 days, it's always a scramble and a big lineup at the supermarket. You distance outside and persons forget. They have on these cloth masks and they're shoving and fighting for food because they just can't get through. The demand is more than the supply, and I mean in labor and everything. We have food here for now. The case where you had the chicken farmer in Falmouth, where he was so devastated last week, I'm happy to announce that he got some help. The government stepped in and decided that they would help this man because he is the biggest farmer in the island, and he catered specifically to the hotels down on that side of the world. All the hotels, North Coast going back around to South Coast, Montego Bay. And for him to have all his layers killed or given away, or the boxes of eggs, I mean cases of eggs, ready to be delivered and nobody to receive, same, you know. So because the hotels have closed their doors, of course, the workers are off. It's just sad because a lot of persons are out of a job right now. The dashboard is lighting up, so let me go to a call. 321-332 caller, you're live. Press 1 to talk.
Good afternoon, Dr. Sylvia in Orlando. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Good to hear you.
Very well. I'm late for the show.
You're not late at all. Better late than never. Welcome.
Thanks for the invitation.
What part of the world are you calling from? Yes. What part of the world are you calling from? You're
in Florida.
Okay, good. How is it going? I know you travel around, you move around, right? So can you tell us what are some of the things, your cases that you have seen? I mean, not by name, but how is it affecting you?
So So I'm in the administration, however, in the fire department, certainly here in Orlando, our responders are certainly being affected, and they're responding to calls for emergencies, of which they transport the patients to the hospitals, local hospitals.
Yes.
So certainly ensuring that they have the proper personal protective equipment is paramount,
right.
And reducing their risk for exposure is also one of the most concerning areas of our occupation and our response operations.
I can well imagine. I know about that. I know.
Yeah.
I know. I really pray for you guys, and I'm so concerned. I was speaking to our Rufus out here. Unfortunately, he couldn't come on air today because he's on duty. But you know.
Okay,
you know,
Mr. Rufus, Ryan.
Ryan.
Okay.
It's mine, yes. I know. Remember, he gave me some training as well, so that's why I can call his name to you. We're on the same beat.
Very well.
Yes,
good,
on the
good,
same
good,
beat.
Good.
Right.
Okay.
And I just I've been following you, and I realize that you go all out sometimes, you know, and a lot of persons have great amount of respect for you. What do you think about doctors? Do you think we have enough Jamaican doctors in Jamaican nurses?
Oh, absolutely. I think the medical profession in Jamaica is they're well suited, educated, and competent in all aspects of healthcare. And I admire and respect them. And as a matter of fact, as we, you know, as members of the diaspora, we look forward to being able to assist them in any way that we can. But certainly, we admire the efforts of all the medical professionals in Jamaica because they're.
Yeah.
Definitely operating with certainly limited resources, but certainly as much support as they can get, we should continue to do so.
Yes. You know, there is an organization, the Palace organization. I don't know if you know about it. It operates out of Alpharetta. And the CRS radio station, they in sync with them, it's the same. They cater to students, young students who cannot afford to go to university or to complete their high school training. So what they have done, they have set up a thing where they give scholarships to the students in Jamaica on a yearly basis for the past 10 years. It is the IRS has approved them and everything. It's a nonprofit organization. And we've been asking for support in whatever small way. You could Google it, or you could make recommendations, because what happens, they give to students, and it's given directly to the bursary where they pay for each child. So
okay.
I know that they have helped as one or two doctors, and so we continue the role. So you could go to the radio station, the CRS, www.crs.com, or the palace1.org to Google it and find out for yourself. If you so desire, you could always make a contribution or make recommendations, you know, for a child to get support.
Absolutely.
Doctors, of course, are the best. Our doctors are the best, of course, and our nurses. But what I find happen is that as soon as they finish with the training, the younger ones, they're off to the United States or Canada or wherever they choose to go. I don't know if it's for the experience or what.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, from a pre-hospital perspective, I think the opportunities sometimes lie outside of Jamaica. Certainly, you know, when you talk about the economics and the feasibility of being hired and so on and so forth, those are some opportunities that sometimes individuals who are trained take advantage of in other CARICOM countries and certainly in other areas of the world. But I think it's also important to note that there is a need to increase the professionalism, if you may, of the pre-hospital care providers in Jamaica and bring it to a level where it's acknowledged by medical doctors and nurses in a way that the society will really look at those providers who are truly on the streets working in not pristine conditions, but sometimes with less than desirable conditions, i.e. insufficient equipment and so on and so forth, and an infrastructure may not necessarily be as what we call first world, if you may, in terms of resources and coordination and collaboration. But by doing that, you will definitely retain the educated, the training, the folks that have completed training there, and keep them in Jamaica to give back to the country.
Right. How do you think we can, it has bothered me all the time, and it has been a sore point. These people, we need to be recognized, because EMS, EMTs are the first responders. They're the first person on the scene of an accident, and they can save a life. They make a difference between life and death. I don't know what else. What can we do? You have any suggestion? How can we raise funds? Do we need more EMTs as young professionals? And that is where Palace would also come in to give a scholarship. So I don't know how we can do it. I'm a bit lost, because Ryan Rufus is there at University Hospital, and he's doing a wonderful job. He's a brilliant man. And if only companies would be aware, you know?
Yeah. I think it's not necessarily only a financial component of it. What I think it requires is strategic alignment. And when I did my doctorate, in Barbados, actually, examining the attitudes of stakeholders.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that, you know, our affect and our beliefs influence our behaviors. And what I recognize that it is lacking in the Caribbean as a whole and in the entire CARICOM nation is that a legislation that focuses specifically on the scope and practice of pre-hospital providers.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is Jamaica does not have a specific regulation that identifies pre-hospital care as an element and has governance in terms of scope of practice. Now, they public, you know, on the public health, they're able to function, and that's why EMTs function there. But what I'm talking about is legislation that's aligned with what we call the EMS agenda for the future. That is what the United States and other countries across the world has been based on, where there's actual legislation and medical direction guiding the pre-hospital personnel. I'm not saying Dr. Besacer is not guiding and others, I should say, they're, as the chief medical officer, they're not doing
help.
What they should
she
be
needs
doing.
Help.
Yeah.
She needs
but
help,
there should be some
no real
specific aim at establishing legislation that really provides scope and practice and oversight and credentialing processes for EMS providers that's consistent across the Caribbean and more applicably in Jamaica as it relates to operational framework.
Okay. We have to look into that. We have to have conversation with persons concerned to see how they can raise awareness of that. And
yes,
I think that probably they are aware, and they know they can do better, but they're just going along with the flow, because look at this crisis that we're experiencing now. If it's a lucky thing that the frontliners are drilled good and proper with this kind of certain kind of knowledge, why they are able to function in their own little way.
Absolutely.
You know?
And through the efforts of the Jamaica Fire Brigade, Kevin Houghton, you know, expanding the scope and practice of firefighters, where they're not considered first aiders anymore. They're now transitioning to the EMT and first responder level. That's something that needs to be further supported and expanded upon, and engage the private ambulances as well, or should I say the hospital-based ambulances as well, to have a coordinated pre-hospital approach.
Yeah, I perfectly agree. I certainly agree with that, you know. And I think they are aware of it, and it is a problem that they are trying to work on, but it's frustrating.
Yeah,
it's very frustrating.
And nothing happens overnight. Nothing happens overnight. We just have to be patient. And as members of the diaspora, continue to contribute to the endeavors there, you know, donating equipment, resources and expertise in terms of academic expertise. And that's one of the things I'm doing with Ryan Rufus out at the University of the West Indies. We have established what we call the Caribbean credentialing process for EMS providers. So we can evaluate the competences, not just in Jamaica, but across the CARICOM. Members who are trained in Jamaica can function in Barbados, can function in Trinidad. So when there's a disaster or something like this, you can have resources that can be brought in, human resources brought in to help support the needs that's needed on the ground level.
Okay, okay. Yeah. That's great. It's really nice talking to you, and I hope to hear from you again. And be safe. And
all right.
That's it. That's it. Thank you
all right,
so much for calling.
I appreciate the invitation.
Yes, yes,
all right.
You're welcome. Good, bye-bye.
And
all right, good.
Bye-bye.
You too, good. That was, this is a caller, 929-381, you're live. Caller, you're live on Caribbean Radio Station. Good afternoon, caller. I guess something went awry, but you're mute, caller. Good afternoon, caller, 929-381. Okay, that caller is experiencing some problem. Okay, another person is on, another caller. Let me hit this one. 202-706, caller. Good afternoon. Welcome to Caribbean Radio Show. Oh, dear. Good afternoon, caller. Okay. So, folks, as I was saying before, a lot of persons have been laid off from their jobs. I can't imagine what is going to happen. The government has been giving, they have made some plans for some stimulus plan for other persons to get those who are not employed and for the elderly and all of those kind of people. The line is lighting up again. 202-706, you're live on Caribbean Radio Show. Hit 1 to talk. Press 1 on your dial button to talk if you want to talk. This is Caribbean Radio Show. You're live. How may I help? 202-706, press 1 to talk. Oh, my goodness. Yes. So I don't know what is going to happen with all of these persons, the domestic workers, they're off because people don't really want anybody in their house right now with the virus going on unless they stay home because it is so real, and until it happens right at your doorstep, that is when you're going to realize how serious the thing really is when the government tells you stay home, stay at your yard. There are so many things you can do indoors, you know. Because I have to stay home as well. Call a 929-381, you're live on Caribbean Radio Show. Oh, there are so many things you can do at home. Things you always wanted to do. You watch your television to be aware of what's happening. You tidy house if you're a woman. You tear it down 10 times, fix it up. You cook, you discover new baking habits. As a matter of fact, I was at a party last night that was so packed up, and I mean literally packed, and it was virtual, it was online, it was on big TV, and they had parties where they zoomed persons dancing. It was fun watching them while I waited to watch my show. So you can entertain yourselves at home. You need to exercise as well for those who normally go out to the gym. You could always stay home and do what you are trained. You put on your music and dance if you're bored and sing. Make yourself happy. For those who have your children or grandchildren, do stuff with them. Teach them. Help them with the online classes that they have. There are persons working from home. I'm wondering how on earth they manage. I have to help. We all have to help. We have to help because we are indeed our brother's keeper. Incidentally, there is only one parish in Jamaica right now as we speak that does not have that virus. the residents are begging and they're hoping that, you know, that people away from their parish, they don't want any outsiders in right now. And you can't blame them because they're scared, really, really scared. You know, we wonder where on earth this this really came from. You know, it's from the pit of somewhere. I hate to think where. I just don't even want to think about it. What on earth is really, really, really happening? You know, everybody is scared and you can't really blame them. So what do we do? What do we do but comply? You know, you have to wash your hands. Keep on washing your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. What else can I tell you? You just have to wash. Keep on washing your hands. Sanitize. Wear your mask because they tell you to do that. And we ought to do that. You know, we ought to do that. It's really, really sad about that little girl who died. And it's an eye-opener because the healthcare system is, people, they're human beings and they're scared as well. So I wondered what really went through their minds when that happened, when they saw the young girl and how they feel right now to know that she is dead. You know, it really makes me very, very sad to think about. But we are alive, and for the time being, while we're alive, we just have to ensure that we keep the persons around us informed of everything that is happening, you know. Really, really. That was so good. Up has been from our firefighting department in Orlando to come online to give us a few tips. Very, very, they're at the front, on the front line, the fire workers, EMTs, the persons who clean, the hospital. They have persons, they like the doctors, nurses. Nurses are doing a wonderful job. It's a hard job. It's difficult for them to go there. Sometimes they don't see their family. They don't see their relatives. Sometimes they have to do a double shift. And they don't get to go home to family. And they're tired and worn out. I'm begging all the taxi men, if they have to take taxi or buses, to treat our workers with respect. We have people who work in the supermarket. They're packing their shelves up daily to go get food. Persons that work in the pharmacies, they ensure that we get whatever it is that we want. While we are at home staying safe, you have other persons out there really ensuring that you can get your supplies. Now I tell you, showing some love and respect to everybody. And I cannot stress enough how much we have to be our brother's keeper. What you don't want for yourself, don't do it to others. When you look out for somebody else, you're looking out for yourself invariably, right? So we have to try and remember that at all times. For all the listeners out there, I am imploring you all to go to the Palace organization and make your donation. Make your donation. If it's even a dollar, you need to do it. Come up with some ideas. Tell your friends. Let's go do this because we need to help our young people out here. Okay, and so we have a lot of doctors and nurses out here, yes. Some go away because they want another type of opportunity. They want more experience in another field to come back home. Some stay and never come back till they're old and decrepit, and that's the time they just come home to live. But if we have our young people in their heart's desire, think about it. The very life you save could be your own when we help to doctors and nurses through school. So I am putting out an appeal to everybody to try their very best and donate to the Palace Foundation. You know, need all the help that we can get. So I don't know what else to put it, because at a time like this, it should open everybody's eyes to the fact that we're not doing so badly, but you know, we have to be prepared for other things that will come along, because this is not the only time that we're going to experience anything like this. This happens just in our lifetime. But guess what? You heard the gentleman said, we have the best nurses and doctors here. So we really, really want to, we want to give scholarships to a phlebotomist, a doctor, nurse, you name all of these people, the EMTs. They are frontliners people, and let me tell you something. It's a wonderful job that they have to do to save a life out there. They are the first person, if you have an accident, is the very first person that you will see coming to rescue you. You might not know it, but you'll hear that the ambulance came, or somebody in a taxi who is an EMT will jump out of that taxi who has a heart to go and assist. Because, you know, you have to have technical care in doing that. Persons love to just drag up and grab up your sick person or a person on the street without thinking about how you control the collar, the C-spine. And that is what causes a lot of death most times, when people just go grab up somebody without proper knowledge of how to do it. And so we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do to train. It's 10 years that this person has been doing the awards to these students. One little girl, it started with one little girl. She was raped and killed. And it's in memory of her that they really, really decided to do this. It's been going good.
Now hear this!
And as I said, you know, it's near time for me to wrap up. But as I said, each one should help one. So I'm appealing, I'm putting out my appeal, and I'll be asking you every single week, because September is just around the corner. It's August for some universities to be open. As a matter of fact, they are open and they're working online. So for the next semester is in August. So
now hear this.
It was nice. It was nice being here this afternoon. I thank you all, listeners. I thank you all for listening in, for tuning in, and for all the callers. I thank you on the chat room who said hi. We only have a matter of seconds left, so I'm going to leave you with Mr. Dennis Brown with Queen Majesty. So until next week, we have something more interesting to come with. Thank you, people.
Now hear this. Don't just to be